This morning I want to go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And I literally had three messages for today. Seriously, three. And I considered for a moment preaching all three of them. And then Cynthia said, no, that's going to take too long. And so changed it up and decided to preach one. Judges chapter 6. And I think I'm going to speak on something today that's going to speak to every single person in here. And it's really, really going to apply to your life because I think each of us are dealing with it. And so Judges chapter 6, and this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the story of a man named Gideon. In Judges 6 verse 11, it says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah. Not Oprah, but Ophrah. Don't get them messed up. You thought Oprah was in the Bible. She didn't make it, okay? The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. Now, when you read this stuff, you need to pay attention to what's going on. Because just now we read that, and some of you didn't even catch what was going on there, okay? He's threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. Pay attention to that, because that doesn't always work out, okay? Now I got to find my place. He was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And Sir Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? You ever said that before? God, if you are really here, then why is this happening to me? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Now, I just have to tell you the audacity of this guy to talk to an angel like that. Because if an angel showed up in my house, I'm not talking like that, y'all. I mean, my parents taught me better than that. I don't know what Joash was doing with Gideon, but obviously he didn't teach him how to talk to an angel. And so you might want to work on that today with your kids, just saying. In verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if I were fighting against one man. Let's pray. Lord, we need this. We need this today. We need this encouragement that comes from your word. We need to hear you speak to us, God. Not just a man, not just a preacher, but Lord, we need to hear you. And so, Lord, I pray now for every heart to be open to receive this message today. Not so much that it would give us information, but Father, that it would awaken some faith in our hearts to believe you, to trust you more and more than we've ever have. And so, Lord, help me today to speak this clearly in a life-giving way. Help me to speak it, God, in such a way, God, that it portrays you. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to work on in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let me set this up for you, okay? The Israelites, this is God's chosen people. And even though they were chosen by God, sometimes they followed him, sometimes they did not. Sometimes they did really well, and they were worshiping the Lord. But then there were times where they chose to worship. I mean, it was just straight up. It wasn't none of this, I got lukewarm for a season. I mean, they just went completely the other direction and started worshiping these other idols. And so they turned to this idol called Baal, and they began to worship this idol, and they began to offer sacrifices. And now they find themselves in the situation where they're suffering the consequences because they're no longer following the Lord. And I just need you to know there's a favor that comes on your life when you follow the Lord. Amen. Amen? There's a favor on your life when you follow the Lord, and there is a provision, I believe, that comes with it. But when you choose not to follow the Lord, you do have to understand that there are consequences for turning and rebelling against the Lord. Can you look at your neighbor and say, let's do this? So they made a decision. I need you to hear this. They made a decision to follow their own ways, to do their own thing, instead of following the Lord. And once they were blessed, but now they find themselves, they're losing everything they have to the Midianites because because of their disobedience to God. Everything they had. And listen, I need you to know, it wasn't so much that God was taking it away from them, as though some people would think. It was because their attention had turned away from the important things in their life. And as a result, these are the consequences that are occurring in our life. So let's break this down a little bit, because usually it's our choices that are influenced by a need or a desire. Okay, when you leave here today, you're going to have a hunger. You're going to have a desire for food, and it is going to influence your decision. Some of you are craving Mexican. Some of you are craving barbecue. Some of you are craving Chick-fil-A, and you're not getting any today. Just not going to happen. But there's a hunger inside of us, and it is literally influencing our choices and our decisions. There's a need. There's this obligation, something we need. And sometimes the decision that we make is not really good for us. But it's a desire. It's something in us that we feel like, I gotta have that. And because of that decision, it puts us in a place now where there are consequences. And this is something that we need to know about God. God will give you the freedom to choose what you want to do. Come on now. So like when you pray, Lord, why did you let me do that? You ever prayed that before? I can't believe I did that. Lord, why did you let me? I think the Lord is saying, I tried to stop you. But you wanted to do what you wanted to do, and you did it, and now this is what you got. It ain't my fault, cuz. God went southern on you there real quick. We have to remember the consequences of those choices. Amen? So there are choices. God lets you make them. Do what you want, but understand that every choice you make has a consequence. Those consequences can be good. They also can be really bad. So the Israelites, they find themselves in this desperate situation now because they're in a position basically to starve to death. I mean, this is how bad it has gotten. Their attention has turned away from the Lord, and they got their mind on worshiping these other idols, and all the things that were blessings in their life, they're no longer treating them as blessings, and they're trying to still make it. But this enemy, the Midianites, has come in, and it's just plundering. They plant the crops, and it's about harvest time, and here come the Midianites. They take it all. And so evidently, this guy Gideon has found a little bit of wheat, and he's thinking, man, we got to eat. So I got to do something with this wheat. And so he finds a place where he can go and he can thresh the wheat. Now, I need you to see what's going on here. We have the chosen ones of God. The chosen ones. These people, the Israelites, are the chosen ones of God who made a choice and turned away from God. And I need every one of us here to know that if you are hearing the gospel, and if you have accepted the Lord, you have been chosen by God to hear the good news. I mean, can you be thankful to God that he chose you to hear the good news? Believe it or not, there are people on this planet that have yet to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. You would think it's all over. There are particular people groups. We don't even know what to call them. They're just people groups. We don't know their language. They have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And so you and I, we've had the privilege and the opportunity to be chosen by God to hear the gospel, to experience his salvation, and to know his blessings. And so here's these people, they're chosen by God, and even though they're chosen by God, and every blessing of God is available to them, they have made a choice to not follow the Lord. And it is possible to be chosen and still make a choice. You can be chosen by God, still make a choice to not follow him, and there will be consequences in your life. Now these folks are fleeing for their lives. They're hiding out in caves and in mountains. And then this angel of the Lord appears. Now, this is what's interesting, because some scholars believe this is what's called a Christophany. Okay, and a Christophany, big word, you get to impress your people this week, okay? A Christophany is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, okay? It's kind of like where Jesus shows up before he's ever born. I know that'll just blow your mind, but it's really cool to talk about. And I like saying the word Christophany, it makes it sound fancy. And so anyway, they literally believe it was Jesus that was appearing. And this is what he does. He shows up and he sits under a tree, the tree of Ophrah. And I find that interesting, that why didn't he just go straight to the guy? He's like sitting under a tree. And then I begin to think about it. I think there are so many times in our life where we're so busy and we don't think that God is around, and he's really just sitting right there underneath the tree the whole entire time. We just didn't even know he was there. You ever overlooked the Lord? You ever realize, oh my goodness, it's Sunday. I forgot about Jesus this week. I better go to church. Don't want to burn. So he sits under this tree, and this tree belonged to Joash. And Joash is Gideon's father. Now, this is what you need to know about Joash, okay? This is important. He is known as an idolater, okay? He was known for offering sacrifices to this idol, Baal. In fact, it's believed that his whole family is involved, along with many of the people in Israel. Okay, this is what Joash is doing. And in the midst of all this occurring, here we are introduced to Gideon. And Gideon seems to be a man who has abstained from this idol worship. Like, he never got into it, and he really remained true to the Lord. And now this angel appears to him, and he's in a wine press where he is threshing wheat because he is trying to hide the wheat from the Midianites. And perhaps he was trying to hide himself. Maybe he knew that if I'm out in the open, they're going to find me. They're going to take what I got. And who knows, maybe they will take me because I'm not participating in all these things that these other people are participating in. But I want us to be careful not to misinterpret the scene here, because they're in need for food. And this seems like a safe place, this wine press. It seems like a safe place to thresh the wheat so that they can provide for the need, so that he can eat, so that everything can be taken care of and hiding from the Midianites. And it would look and it would appear that Gideon is fearful and he's found a good hiding place. But what if he's actually wise? And what if this isn't his hiding place, but what if this is his secret place that he would go to get alone with the Lord? What if this was the place? What if this was the time that he chose, even though all of this was going on in his life, and even though his family is known as these people who are completely rebelling against God? What if he decided, I need to have a place that I can go to get alone with the Lord? It's either a hiding place or a secret place. And I think it's a secret place because this is the place that he meets with the Lord. And there's a lot of people that have hiding places. There's a lot of people in here, you're hiding from the issues in your life, and you don't see it that way, but you're hiding from it. Maybe you're using alcohol. Maybe you're using drugs. Maybe you're looking into relationships. Maybe you're getting yourself involved in some things that are not godly. But this has become your quote-unquote safe place to get away. It's a hiding place. And even though you might be hiding, I need you to know the Lord can find you. In fact, the biggest hiding place that people use is pleasure. Pleasure. This is huge. Because there's nothing really wrong with pleasure, but whenever you completely divulge yourself in pleasure, you get away from the things of God. And we give this appearance that everything is good, but on the inside, things aren't really good. But it's the secret place that we go to meet with the Lord. It's that secret place. It's that quiet time. It's that I've got to quiet everything down so I can get alone with the Lord. And I'm going to ask you today, when's the last time you've been to that secret place? The New Testament, Jesus described it as going into your prayer closet to pray. Got to have a quiet place to get away from it all. And it's in this secret place that this angel speaks. And I've read this story so many times, and it blows me away what this angel speaks to him. This guy, Gideon, he looks at him and he says, "Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." Now, when I read this story, I'm not seeing Mighty Warrior. I'm not seeing it. Are you? I mean, I don't see Mighty Warrior. I see a guy who is obviously trying to make sure that he can make it. He ain't fighting nobody. But yet the angel shows up and refers to him as a mighty warrior. This is interesting because it's not what you would expect. It's not what you would expect God to say. Am I right? Probably we're thinking God is going to say, this is what you get. This is what you get for disobeying. This is what your nation gets for not following me. You know, all that fancy judgment talk that we believe needs to be told to people, that's going to help them change. But the angel shows up and he says, "Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." And I want to remind you that God doesn't just see what you do. Okay? Let's go ahead and correct our Santa Claus doctrine real quick. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. Come on, that's really how we view God, by the way. But I need us to realize God not only sees what you do, but he also sees who you can be. And perhaps right here, the Lord is speaking not to Gideon for who he is, but perhaps the Lord is trying to get him to see who he can be. And from the situation, it looks like he is the furthest thing from this. Am I right? And so Gideon, he's uncertain, and he questions this because he doesn't see himself this way. And this is what's interesting, that God is about to use a high-pressure situation to point Gideon to the plans that he has for his life. That's what's about to happen here. God is about to use some high-pressure situations in this dude's life to point him to the plans that God has for his life. And I just wonder if there's anybody here who might be under a little bit of pressure today. Just a little bit of pressure. So today, I want to preach a message, and this is a cool title. I like it a lot. I don't know if you will or not. Some of you will. I want to preach a message called Pressure Point. Pressure Point. Pressure point. I never forget when this whole UFC thing started. How many of you are UFC fans? I bet I'm going to see two or three ladies raise their hand. Vicious people. Violence. What's wrong with our world today? I never forget watching this. This is before they regulated and stuff. I was watching this match. It was like UFC 35. Okay, that's how long ago. What is it now? Like UFC 299 or something? This is like UFC 35. This is before they even had rules, y'all. And they got this guy that comes out there in the octagon, and this guy is large. I mean, he is big, and his preferred method of fighting is boxing. And so I'm like, okay, so we're going to see some punches thrown. And then there's this little guy that gets in there, really small, little guy. I'm not sure where he was from, but he was a little guy. And he was agile. I mean, this little guy can move. And they said that his preferred method of fighting was grappling. I'd never heard of grappling before, ever in my life. And then this fight started. And you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? This guy, this big boxing guy is going to take this little dude and throw him out of there. No, not what happened. See, this little grappling dude, he climbs up on the back of this boxer and just kind of like, grabs on right here. I don't even know what that is, but just kind of grabs on. And I watch this huge guy, this boxing dude, just melt to the ground like butter. Just melted the dude like butter. Now, some of you are like, I got to get out of here. I don't do all that fighting stuff. It's quite impressive, though. I'm telling you, it is. If you saw it, you would think it was, too. But what this little guy did was he grabbed a pressure point. Just kind of worked it. One time I told Michael Kroom's a physical therapist that specializes in this mobility stuff. And one time I told him my neck was hurting. And so he said, look up and look that way. So I looked up and looked that way. And this guy, he just kind of like, grabs on right here to my jugular vein. And he starts working his thumb into it. And then he says something like this. And this is where you know it's bad. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no. This dude is killing me, slowly but surely. And he began to work that thing. And he says, 3, 2, 1. And he lets go. And he said, does it hurt anymore? I said, well, not that part. No, this it's a pressure point. It's a pressure point. Pressure can be good, but it also can be bad. Come on, anybody ever experienced a little bit of pressure? Some of you right now, you got some stress going on in your life, and I don't know if anybody has told you this yet, but the holidays are here. I don't know if you made it to Walmart, but like 6 weeks ago, they had Christmas stuff out. And this is a high-pressure time of our life right here because we got to get it right, y'all. I mean, we got so many things to do. We're either going to travel or somebody's coming to our house, and we still got to go to work while we're doing all this stuff. We got Christmas shopping. We got to do all that crazy stuff that begins in a few weeks, you know. All of these things that come with the holidays, and it just adds so much pressure. And there's a lot of people that I know without the holidays that are already under a lot of pressure in their life. People are stressed out like never before, with work, with their family, trying to be successful, trying to keep up with school. Listen, I'm trying to help my daughter do this math homework, and I need you to know I am stressed out. When you're sitting there as a parent and you're watching a YouTube video for an hour to figure out one word problem, what are y'all doing to us? Got to educate the parents too. I can come up with the answer. I just can't show you how we got it. And that's all you care about. Anyway, rant. God forgive me. Stressed out because we're trying to do good. We're trying to be good. Some folks are stressed out because they're trying to look good. Lots of pressure. Got situations in our life, in our marriages, finances. Or folks that are trying to make big decisions, really big decisions. And you don't even know what to do, which way to go, or where to even start. And you're just trying to figure out, man, I'm trying to figure out the next 5 years. I can't figure out the next 5 minutes. Got commitments that we made that now we're having a hard time keeping up with. But pressure isn't always a bad thing. In fact, pressure is holding this building up today. This morning when you brushed your teeth, and I hope you did, you turned that water on, it was pressure that pushed that water through the pipe so that you can brush your teeth, so that you can take that shower. So pressure can be bad, but it also can be good. And Gideon, here he is, he's under some pressure to survive. And that's a whole new level of pressure, because we're not at the point where we're trying to survive, okay? We're trying to figure out how to do life. It's the survival part, we got it taken care of. We're just trying to make it through all these things, these decisions, and all these different things that we've added to our life. But Gideon, he's under some pressure to make it because he needs food. Like, they're legitimately hungry. He ain't just sitting in church and his stomach's growling and he just ate 3 mints to try to make it to Sonny's today for lunch. Like, this guy's been a while. And everything that they have available is taken by these Midianites, and so this is a matter of survival. And I find it so interesting that at the greatest pressure of this guy's life, that God decides to go ahead and begin to reveal some plans that he has for Gideon. That is, to me, that is not the most opportune time to do it. Am I right? I mean, let's wait for a day where everything is going wonderful and then show up underneath the tree and say, hey, Gideon, come have a seat with me. Let's build a swing and talk. No, it's on a day where they're just barely making it to survive, and Gideon's in his wine press and he's trying to thresh wheat and he's trying to hide so that the Midianites don't take it, but perhaps he's trying to get along with the Lord, and now the Lord shows up and wants to speak to him at the moment of his greatest pressure and then call the guy a mighty warrior, and you know, you're just so great, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. Like, that's not how it adds up in my mind. Am I preaching to anybody? Like, Lord, do you realize what you're doing here? Like, let's talk over here. Because if you're going to do this the right way, you might want to show up when this guy, when everything is going good in his life. And the Lord chooses to do it at a point where it's not going so well, where there's a lot of pressure. And I got a feeling there's a lot of people under some pressure here today. And you need the Lord to speak some things to your life. And you don't feel like you're qualified to hear what God says to you today, because you need to clean some things up, get some things straight in your life. And then once you got it straight, okay, Lord, tell me what you got. But I need you to know the Lord can speak to you right here today. So this right here is one of those good buddies in our life. One of our BFFs would show up and tell us something like this. God won't give you more than you can handle, Gideon. And I just want to say, well, what in the world is going on here? Because Gideon's about to die. And then the Lord wants to come over here and say, oh, by the way, you're about to die. You're a mighty warrior, and you're going to save all these people from the Midianites. And Gideon's like, I'm hungry. I just need something to eat. So this is what happens. We do this too. This is what happens. Gideon questions it. God, if you're with us, why is all of this happening to us? We've said it. God, why are you letting this happen? Like, I went to church this week. Like, why are you letting me run out of gas? Just trying to go get the kids. And I think the Lord's saying, well, why didn't you stop to get gas? See, it's not that God left them. It's that they left God. See, God doesn't leave you because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we leave him. We take detours. We pull off at the exit that we wasn't supposed to pull off on because we're impatient, because we're hungry. And because we got off, maybe we got entertained with what's on that exit. And now we miss the whole destination of where we were trying to head. There's a lot of people who got off on the wrong exit, and as a result, your whole life has been built around something that God never intended for you to build it around. There are things that we allowed in our life that were never meant to be in our life, but now it's there. And God is trying to get some attention. So after Gideon questions it, Gideon then tries to disqualify himself. And this is where I really think it gets real. Because if you're under pressure in your life right now, the last thing that you want is for the Lord to come and speak and give you an assignment that's going to add more pressure on your life. Am I right? Come on, wave your hand at me and act like you're listening. I mean, you don't have to be listening for real, but I feel like this is good. He tries to disqualify himself, and this is what he says. He says, my family, Lord, if you really knew who we were, my family, we're like the weak family. We're not really the strong, powerful family in our community. Like, we don't do that kind of stuff. See what he's doing there? And this is the part that you don't even realize and you're not even seeing. He uses his family as his excuse. And I want to go ahead and knock on that door here this morning. Because I've heard more people use their family as an excuse to not do something for God. And as a result, walk away from the plans and the promises and the purposes of God because they don't want anything to happen to their family. And it's almost as though the call of God can mess up your family. And I need us to know that it's not the call of God that messes up your family. It's the fall of man that messes up our families. Come on, I expected a lot better reaction than that. Don't use your family as an excuse to not follow God's plan. That's strong right there. And this is what he is attempting to do. He's trying to tell the Lord, I can't do that because of my family. And what if this is the very way that God wants to save your family? It might put you under a little bit of pressure, but can I tell you, if that pressure leads to the salvation of your family, it was worth it. Come on, bring the pressure on, because I'll stand in the gap for it. What did it say in Jeremiah? I'm looking for someone who will stand in the gap, someone that can handle the pressure of being stretched a little bit. It's not the call of God that ruins people. It's the fall of man. As you read on, Gideon struggles to believe it. And he goes into this process where God begins to stretch Gideon's faith in order to grow him into his purpose. And there's some people in this room today, that's where you're at. There's some pressure on your life, and you just want it all to go away. And I don't want to be a bad news preacher. I want to be a realistic preacher. It's not going to go away because God's love for you is relentless. He doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. And he is relentlessly pursuing you because he wants to give you the kingdom. Come on, he wants to give you the best. And you think the pressure is from all this other stuff. And God is just using the pressure to point you, to put you in the very place so that you can fulfill the very plans and purposes of God. So watch this. Some of the pressure that we're dealing with is God stretching our faith so he can prove his presence to us. Is God trying to show you, hey, I'm still here. You're praying to me like you never have before since this pressure has been here. Come on. Some of the pressure that we're under is actually God's conviction. It's God convicting you. It's the Holy Spirit messing with you, trying to help you to see, hey, you're going the wrong way. But because you enjoy it so much, when you feel a little like, I feel like something's coming against me. Get behind me, devil, but let's keep going this way. And it's the Lord that's trying to bring some direction, some correction in your life to get you back on the right path. And he uses conviction to do it. In fact, maybe I'm saying some things today, and as I'm saying it, it's kind of hitting you, and you're like, man, don't say that. Quit talking about that. Talk about the good stuff. Maybe it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that God is using to put some pressure on you to influence a decision that you need to make so that you get back on the right track. Come on, that's some good pressure. Some of the pressure that you're dealing with is God just strengthening you. How many of you go to the gym? When you go to the gym, next time you go, just stand there. Just stand there. In fact, for the next month when you go, just stand there. And they're going to say, what are you doing? You say, I just don't like the pressure. It's too much pressure. It's too much. Too much. You're not going to get stronger. And you're not even going to maintain the strength that you have. You're going to get weaker. So what if God is using some pressure to strengthen you, to stretch you? And what if he's just using the pressure to set you up for something? I get it. Look, I know. I don't want the pressure. Just leave me alone. Be quiet. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't feel like it today, y'all. And it seems like the day where I don't feel like it is the day where he's like, I want to today. But Lord, it's my day off. I know, but it's not theirs. Pressure. Some of the pressure we have in our house, in our family, in our home, isn't because those people are crazy. Might be because you're crazy, but it's not because those people are crazy. But maybe it's just because things are out of order. Maybe it's just out of order. You call it financial pressure because we don't got no money. And it's not because we don't got no money. It's because we got a lot of spending. You see what I'm saying? And it brings pressure. Puts pressure on you because you feel like you don't do enough. Then it puts pressure on your marriage because he thinks you need to do this and she thinks they need to do that. Listen, if you're both thinking we got to find a solution, at least you're thinking in the right direction. Quit fighting about it. Get on the same page. Amen? Things called budgets, stuff like that. I don't want to push you too hard today. Some of y'all look like you might pop, okay? I just want to be sensitive to you. So what I want to talk about, just to finish this up today, is how God can use pressure in a useful way. And perhaps just adjust our view of pressure in our life a little bit. Can we adjust some pressure a little bit? Here's the first thing. Pressure reveals. This is three ways that pressure is useful. First thing is pressure reveals. It's going to reveal who you are. It's going to reveal your strengths. It's going to reveal your weaknesses. Like, you don't know you can carry that until you try to lift it. And lifting it is pressure, but what if you're able to carry it? One moment you thought the pressure was negative. Now that you're able to carry it and a few people around you are impressed with the fact that you're able to carry it, you're feeling good about yourself. Pressure has revealed that you're that strong. What if the pressure in your life is revealing to you what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are? It shows me how much I'm dependent on God or how little I'm dependent on him. It's given me an idea of what I can handle. If there's no pressure in your life, you don't know what you can handle. Like, the last person you want telling you how to get through something in your life is a person who's never been through anything in their life. You don't understand the pressure. Like, don't tell me. Seriously, don't tell me. Well, the grace of God, I know the grace of God is on you. But it's available to me too, and I'm walking through something you ain't never walked through before. So the best thing is just pray for me. Gives you an idea of what you can handle. So just like it can reveal some things in me, to me, it can also reveal who God is and the potential of what he can do. Think of that. Pressure is going to make you rely on the Lord like you have never relied on him before. It's always interesting that when people begin to face a crisis, they start praying like they never prayed before. They start going to church. They want to get involved in everything and serve in all these capacities. It's like, let me jump in this phone booth, put on my Superman suit because we got to save the day. Seriously. And they're trying to compensate for what they haven't been doing instead of just doing it little by little by little, and they're growing into it. Pressure will reveal some things to you. And God will use some pressure to show you what you're made of. He'll use it to show you what you're made of. And there's some folks in here, you've been going through a lot. In fact, you're still going through it. But you remain true to the Lord. You've handled the pressure. And you might not even feel like you're successful. But what if you realize that faithfulness is success? Come on. Because you see, they turned away from the Lord. They had all the blessings, but all the blessings, they lost the Lord. And now they got some pressure. And the whole point of the pressure is to lead them back to the place to where they're faithful to God, because God never stopped being faithful to them. You ever seen that person in the gym and they trying to bench press and they want to max out? You've seen it before. And that guy, he's trying to lift and he's shaking. Ever seen that before? Come on, how y'all ever shook at the gym before? And I'm not talking about when you were running on the treadmill. It's a good joke right there. Everybody think that's funny. But I'm talking about you were trying to bench press or something and you were shaking. And maybe right now you're going through a little bit of shaking in your life. But can I encourage you, even though you're shaking, you're still lifting. Come on. You're still lifting even though you're shaking. Here's another thing pressure does. It directs. It directs. It reveals and it directs. You remember this when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, this is what they would talk about all the time in youth group. Tonight we're going to talk about peer pressure. Y'all remember that term? They don't use that anymore. Back in the day it was peer pressure. Got so much peer pressure in our world today. Peer pressure. I did this because my friends made me do it. No, you didn't do it because your friends made you do it. You liked their reaction to you doing it. It was fun. You like the applause. You like the, you like that stuff. Peer pressure. Pressure will either lead you to God or it's going to lead you away from Him. So many of us can look at things in our life where the pressure was on. We should have turned to the Lord, but we turned to something else. We turned to a substance. We turned to alcohol. As a result, it turned into an addiction. We turned to a relationship. We turned to things because pressure was on our life, and that pressure was meant to bring us closer to God, but we chose to take a different route. Pressure, it directs. And it's either going to direct you to a hiding place or it's going to direct you to a secret place. It's either going to direct you to a place where it's cultivating fear in your life, or it's going to bring you to a place where you're seeking God and it's cultivating faith in your life. That's where we're going. We're either going to a place where we're fearful and we're just trying to get through another day, or we're going to step into a place where our faith is being built and we're willing to step into some things that we never would have stepped into before. That's what pressure will do to you. Like I said today, I'm just trying to adjust, tweak our perception of pressure in our life a little bit, because so many of us are trying to make it all go away. And it's not going to happen. Because pressure is what makes you do things that you never thought you would do. This is so good. Pressure will make you do things that you never thought you would do. It was pressure that made us put the house for sale and move here. It was pressure. Come on, somebody. It was pressure that made us go invite somebody. It was pressure that made us step out in faith. If it wasn't for the pressure, wouldn't have done it. But it was the pressure of the Holy Spirit that was pushing us, politely pushing us, encouraging us to step into the plans and the purposes of God. There are some folks in this room, and this is strong. You have pressure in your life. Watch this. Please hear this. Because you're wrong. Now, I know y'all looking at me like raising your eyebrows like you just told us we're wrong. I have had pressure in my life because I was wrong and I wasn't willing to admit it. Just straight up wrong. There's pressure in marriages today because nobody can say I'm wrong. And so what does it do? It creates this tension. And we're riding with it in the car. We're laying with it in the bed. Everywhere we go. We going to Disney World, happiest place on earth. But the pressure is still there. And you didn't get me one. You got everybody else a drink. And here I am walking all over this place, 13,763 steps. And you didn't think that I needed a cold drink? I can't do this anymore. And then you walk about 30 steps and you see this little kid melting down. And you look at yours and they're not melting down. You're like, I'm going to go back. Because I don't want that. What if that pressure is the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's trying to help you to get it right? And you're sitting there saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Bring it to the Lord. Father, forgive me for what I have done. Confess your sin to the Lord. God, I am wrong. And watch this. The Bible says when we repent of our sins, times of refreshing will come upon us. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord when we, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Forgive me. It's a lot of pressure because of the sin in our life. And Jesus went to the cross to lift that load, to carry that burden. Are you grabbing this? Listen, there are other pressures that are good. You're going to carry burdens, things that God has put on your heart, and it's not going to go away. Listen, I carry a burden for the people of this city, and it doesn't go away. Even when we have a good service, it's still there. I still want to see God do more. It just doesn't go away. But it's that pressure from that burden that propels me and keeps me going, makes me want to continue to do things for the Lord. It's a good pressure. Pressure leads you into change. It causes you to take some faith step. Here's the last one. Pressure forms. It forms. Here's the example. A potter will put his hands on the clay and he applies pressure to it to shape it into something useful. And then there's pressure on coal, and the pressure, it keeps pushing on it. And what does it do? It produces a diamond. Come on, ladies, you should smile right there. It's Christmas time, okay? And so pressure is forming and shaping things that are useful. Pressure forms things that are valuable. And maybe the Lord is putting some pressure on you because he knows what he can form in your life. It's going to be of value. I'm glad I preached this one today. So watch this. The Lord, he takes his hand on your life to form and to shape. But Satan, he pushes, he punches, he intimidates you. He tries to scare you. But God prepares. He leads. He molds us. He creates. Come on, somebody. Do you see the difference in the two? It's a helpful kind of pressure that the Lord is putting on your life. But the pressure is forming something. It's forming some character. The pressure is forming some endurance in your life. See, God's not looking for someone to be the star of a show. He's looking for someone who will be faithful. Watch this. In the little things. Because if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful with much. Come on, are you grabbing this? But God's got to form something in you so he knows exactly how much pressure to put at each point in each season of your life. That's why it's a pressure point. He's got his hand on your life, and yeah, he's working that one area, and you're like, oh, I don't like the pressure, but he's like, hold on. Yeah, that's good. 3, 2, 1. Oh. Pressure. See, God won't just do something with you without developing something in you. He's not just going to do something with you and say, look at what they did. He is working on developing something in you because God thinks in terms of eternity. He wants it to last. It's not just for a season of your life. I'm not just serving for now. This is who I am. I am a servant. Are you grabbing this? I'm not just called for a period of time in my life. God called me for all of my life. And this pressure is what God is using to reveal it to me. This pressure is what God is using to direct me into it. And this pressure is what God is using to form something in me so that I stick with it. See, my strength is stronger because of my pressure. Watch this. Some of you've been married for a long time. And you still don't even like your marriage. But you've been married for a long time. And I just want to know, how did you make it this long? How did you get this far? Think about it. How did you get this far without there being some endurance in your life? How did you? Hey, listen, I know it might be ugly, but that don't mean that it ain't strong. Are you hearing this today? Some of you've been walking through some things for a long time, but the good news is you're still walking. You said, but Pastor, I fell a few times. And the Bible says, though the righteous stumble 7 times, they what? They get up again. They get up again. And God is using that to develop some character in you so that you can finish the race that he has laid out for you. God wants to develop something in you. And he's using this pressure that is in your life right now to develop something. And the question is this, are you going to turn to the Lord? going to turn to that stuff? Or are you going to look for alternatives? Let's turn to the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. The end of Jesus' time on earth, he goes into a garden. He brings his disciples there. It's a garden called Gethsemane. And that word Gethsemane literally means a press. It's an oil press, a place of pressure. And it's there where he is tempted to change the plan that God's got for him because the pressure was so great. In fact, when you go read it, the pressure was so great that his sweat coming out of the brow of his head, it was literally turning into blood. Now, I know you've stressed out, but you've never stressed out to the point to where you were bleeding through your pores. And he begins to pray things like this: Lord, if you can, let's find another way to do this. The pressure is too great, but not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And watch this. He stayed in the place of pressure so that he can come and fulfill his purpose of saving you and me. Good thing he didn't abort the mission. Good thing he didn't change the plan. Because if he had changed the plan, it wouldn't have included us. But he stayed on point, even though the pressure was there, which set up the miracle of salvation for each of us. And right now, in this room, there's pressure. There's pressure. Some of it is because of your guilt and shame, because of what you've done in your life. But some of it is just straight up the Holy Spirit this morning who is trying to direct you towards the Lord. And if you're here today and the pressure is great, the pressure of your sin is great, the good news is Jesus came to take away all the sins of the world and to bring forgiveness so that refreshing can come to your life. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've been carrying your sins around, and you've been carrying your guilt and your shame around, today the Lord wants to lift it if you will just give it to him by confessing your sins and putting your faith and trust in him. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to put my faith and trust in the Lord, give my sins to him, ask him for forgiveness in my life. I want you to, real quick, would you raise a hand? We're going to pray with you this morning. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your religious background is. You say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus today. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Let's pray this out loud. We always pray this prayer together at Emerge. I want you to say it out loud and mean with all your heart. Dear Lord, thank you for saving me when you sent your son Jesus to pay for my sins, to take that weight off of my shoulders so that I can carry out your purpose and plans for my life. And so today, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I take this weight that I've been carrying and I surrender it to you. I'm all yours, Lord. I choose to follow you. And I ask you to work on me. To put pressure where I need pressure. So I will be everything that you planned for my life to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. This is what I want you to do. If you pray that prayer today, perhaps first time, maybe it's your recommitment to the Lord. Inside that worship God is a connection card. I want you to fill it out. On your way out of the doors today, drop it in the offering buckets. This week, I want to follow up with you, send you a letter. Hey, we're so proud of you. We're praying for you. These are your next steps. This is what I want to do, though, before we leave. If you're in a pressure situation right now in your life, there's some pressure going on in your life. And some of it is from some bad things, and some of it you can tell God is working on some things in your life. I want you to stand to your feet right now. All across this room, you say, Pastor, I'm under pressure. You got a big decision to make. Come on. You got some issues going on at the house. Maybe it's between you and one of your children. Maybe your kids are older and you're trying to plan the holidays and you're not sure how that's going to work out because there's a little something there and it's putting some pressure. Putting some pressure. And you're trying to do everything with your own hands to try to control it, trying to work it out. But today, let's take that pressure and say, Lord, I want to give it to you. So I want you to lift your hands all across this room. Come on, I want to pray for you today. Lord, we have carried this weight, this pressure, trying to manage it on our own. But Lord, every one of the situations that are represented by every person, Lord, we put it in your hands. The financial pressure, we put it in your hands. The pressure that's in the marriage, we put it in your hands, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to work on us with your grace. May your hand of favor be upon us, shaping us, molding us, God, creating a new heart within us, God. But Lord, we can't carry it anymore, so we give it to you. And Lord, we ask you to use it to shape us, to form us, to reveal who you are to us, God. So Lord, here it is. We give it to you today. Listen, your praise, your worship is the pressure release valve on your life. And some of you, you're carrying around so much pressure because you're not giving anything to the Lord. You're trying to carry it all on your own. And you got to hit that valve and give him some praise in this place. And so right now, with your hands raised, come on, everyone's standing on their feet. With your hands raised, with your voices raised, I want you to give God some praise in this place. Come on, clap your hands. All you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout to God with a voice of praise. Come on, we give you praise in this place, Lord. We give you praise in this place, oh God. We give you praise in this place, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.